What's up, guys? Welcome back to Babe and the Braids podcast. I'm Allison the Babe.
And I'm Isaac the Braids, even though I'm not braided today.
You know what? It's okay.
You can't win them all.
So we have not podcasted in a very long time. I think the last podcast we recorded was the last day of 2019. So it's been an entire month, unfortunately. So as you guys see in the title, today Isaac and I are going to be talking about money, specifically money and how we handle it in our relationship, because we do live together, but we also split expenses, and throughout our relationship, we've kind of split, well, I'm getting ahead of myself, but we want to talk about money today.
Yeah, it's also interesting because we can talk a little bit about our money backgrounds, but I don't have the best relationship with money for some reason. Everything about money stresses me out. But yeah, the point of the podcast is just to talk about how we operate in our relationship as it pertains to the moolah, the change.
And I do think we're in a unique situation with Isaac playing in the NFL. A lot of people are going to be quick to say, well, he makes a lot more money than you. Why isn't he paying for everything? Or people are going to be quick to assume random things. And I can already hear the hate comments, but we're still here and we're ready to talk about it.
Yeah. And we're just going to quickly touch on the hate comments. In not a long time, but it's crazy how much people hate. And I know people are going to hate on this for some reason.
Well, they're either going to take two sides. One side, they're going to say he is a man. He should pay for everything of hers. He makes enough money, blah, 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 blah. Or people are going to say she's with him because he has money. She needs to be super independent. I mean, which I have been, but they're just going to take, I mean, there's two different sides to hate on us for this topic, but we are moving along without the judgment, without a care in the world, and we're here for it.
And not to get it twisted, Allie's got a pretty good job, and I'm proud of her. She's a beast. She does represent what independence is all about. She represents what a good example for the females is all about. So, you know, people could come up to me and be like, why is she not paying for everything?
I guess there could be a third place to hate on us. But with that being said, let's go ahead and jump into this topic. And hopefully this topic can help some of you guys. I know it's going to be rare for another couple to be in our exact situation, especially both of us came out of college and have great jobs. So you might have to like pick and choose what we say here because not everyone is going to be in our situation. But I'm hoping that by telling you how we approach these situations regarding money, it can help some of you guys.
Listen, me and Allie can sit here and be formal for this podcast. We're going to have a transparent conversation real quick.
Transparent.
And she knows what's coming. Maybe, maybe not. Mm-mm. But let's get back to this idea of me having a bad relationship with money, because I think when it comes to money and finances in a relationship, initially you need to just be on the same page. And I think that's something that Allie and I struggled with early on. Well, I guess once we started like spending more time together, living in the same city and really having to split stuff, it's an issue we had because I just didn't have a good relationship with money and I let everything stress me out as it pertains to money.
I mean, yeah, I will say Isaac doesn't have the healthiest relationship with money, but again, that can probably help some of you guys because I feel like I'm on one spectrum where I act as if money is available to me and Isaac acts as if he needs to save. I'm saying that just very bluntly. I feel like we have like different qualities pertaining to money, but I feel like we're getting off topic. So let's go ahead and jump into just really quickly our upbringing. I feel like, I don't know if it's important. I mean, I don't know necessarily that my upbringing is the reason you and I are splitting rent and like expenses today.
But I think it gives a valuable context. Like, everybody comes into relationships from different places, right? So, like, people listening to this, you might be like, my boyfriend didn't come from money or my girlfriend didn't come from money or vice versa. So I'll just start in telling you that I came from what would be a very middle-class family. Definitely did not grow up with the crazy leisure of getting anything I wanted. But I also didn't grow up wondering where my next meal would be. So somewhere in the middle is where I was. My relationship with money growing up was one that I was I was money conscious. Like, I was aware that finances were a thing, right? As a little kid, I understood that my parents were having money conversations and paying bills. I knew bill time would come around. But again, it wasn't something that was like, we weren't like struggling, like, oh my gosh, how are we going to get groceries?
It never negatively affected your childhood growing up. You never were scared of like, oh, we can't afford to do, like, we can't afford to go and get a burger or something.
Right. But there were times where it's like, all right, you're not going to go get the new video game system. Like, I think my parents did a good job of, you know, within our means, giving me and my brother an unreal upbringing where we felt like we could get wherever, whatever we wanted or whatever. But I also think that it's a testament to my parents doing a great job budgeting, right? So that's kind of besides the point. The point is, I would say I was like middle class, had a aware relationship with money growing up.
Mm-hmm. And me.
He was the opposite.
Okay, I'm not the opposite. I would say higher end middle class because am I ignorant? Like, were we just upper class?
It's okay. You were upper. Listen, they were upper class.
Whoa. My parents are going to watch this and be like, no, you're definitely higher end middle class.
Yeah, but you're an unreal person. It's not like you're like snooty or bratty.
True. But anyways, moving on. Somebody said, oh, let's take a shot every time Allie says the word disclaimer. But disclaimer, I'm not trying to be ignorant. And if I am, I apologize in advance.
Ignite.
Anyways, so I grew up in a great little suburb town in Michigan. I lived in a more wealthy neighborhood. Like, there were nice houses. We had a pool in our backyard. We went on family trips every year. And I'm not going to say my parents spoiled me, but I will say I was spoiled to a certain extent. I don't think they overdid it though. Like, I'm not looking back on my childhood like, oh my God, I got everything I wanted. Like, I got a pony, I got this. No, my parents said, like, if you get good grades, you're doing well, like, character-wise, like, you're not getting in fights at school. Like, if you're in sports and staying out of trouble, there are rewards for that. So I don't think I was ever deprived of something I wanted within the means of like, oh, a new video game came out, like, we're going to go get that.
Yeah, I think more importantly, Allie was not money, like, she wasn't aware of financially what was going on in the household. Like, I don't think you were told like, oh, we're not getting that because that doesn't fall within the budget or I feel like your relationship with money growing up was more of like, I'm not even really thinking about this.
I definitely agree. I think, I went to a private school and we did like club sports, which I know can be expensive now that I'm older. I know that, I mean, it can cost a pretty penny, but we did go through a time period during the, do people call it the recession? God, they're going to be like, she's so stupid.
But it's a recession.
I mean, everyone knows the time period I'm talking about, but my family definitely had to cut back. And I remember thinking during that time, like, oh my gosh, we're poor. And that was super ignorant of me to ever think because we had a roof over our head. We never had to worry about where our next meal was coming. We were still going to school. We still had the cars. Like,
yeah.
But I do think that was important in my upbringing because if you were to ask my mom, I am the more frugal of all of my siblings for no particular reason. I think I was just more aware growing up, but long story short, I will say that I grew up well off.
No doubt. So
don't say it like that.
No, it's literally just no doubt. And there's nothing wrong with Allie or her family or anybody, but you just came from
never feel guilty about making money.
Also, I want my kids to be super privileged.
Whoa.
I'm joking, but I don't want my kids to have to worry about anything. I want it to be like chill, very healthy money environment.
I think everybody can agree that's listening to this podcast or watching this YouTube video that they would like their kids to grow up never having to worry about food or the clothes on their back or shoes on their feet.
So then we entered kind of like what is like the puppy love phase / we met each other. And when you meet people and you start these relationships, like, you're not thinking about anything. First off is, dang, she looks good. Second off is like, shoot, she's kind of cool too, or he's kind of cool too. And then you start to work out all the other stuff.
Well, we were in college, so it just wasn't really a topic of conversation because throughout college, everyone's living off of like ramen noodles. So it's never really a topic, I guess. I mean, you would like eat at McDonald's, like you go out for like Five Guys, French fries and burgers. So
everything is like, it's like mutually accepted and agreed to find the absolute cheapest option.
Right. So if Isaac was ever getting my meal, it was like $2.
Yeah. And I didn't even, I mean, at this point, you guys have to realize like,
This was pre-gluten and dairy intolerant days, well, so I could eat whatever I wanted.
Boys were big McDonald's drive-thru line, but it's one of our first dates was McDonald's drive-thru line.
That was our first kiss. Anyways.
But it's like I came from a place where I didn't even know about super nice food and stuff. Like we were just chilling food at home every night, and we passed this stage where it's the cheapest possible everything. I get to the NFL, and it's like, who's paying for flights? And then she comes out. I'm trying to eat like nice meals and like all this stuff.
Right. So right when Isaac got drafted to the Chargers, it became difficult because I was still in college in Michigan. And everyone knows that a flight from Michigan to California is not the cheapest thing in the world. It's about $400 round trip.
Minimum.
Yeah, minimum. Not to mention hotels and then food, because at this time, Isaac wasn't living in an apartment yet. So it was very interesting.
Right, because the first time you came out, I was in the Irvine Marriott.
Right. And I mean, right off the bat, I want to say, like, unfortunately, I just expected Isaac to pay for my flight because I was like, oh, he just got drafted to the NFL. Like, he has money. Like, if anyone's going to pay for the flight, he definitely has to pay.
This is a great time.
Which was ignorant.
It's a great time to insert some advice on both sides. Like, whether I was in a place where I should have been paying for all the flights, I think it's healthier for the girl or the guy to maybe approach it asking and saying, hey, what do you think we should do? And then just try to have an open conversation about it. But she came out and we're eating out every time because we have to. And we're dealing with these conversations of who's gonna pay for the flight. And we decided to split the flights.
Mm-hmm. Because I will say throughout college, I had like a freelancing job. So it was really easy for me. Like I had a source of income. So when it came to like splitting a meal here and there, I was like, oh yeah, of course, no problem. Or like splitting a flight. But then it started to get a little bit complicated because then I wanted to come out every other weekend and it was
starting to get. And you kind of did.
Yeah, I did. And I mean, it shows on my bank account. So
yeah. But she'll admit when she came out, I feel like I always took care of you though. Like, I feel like you were never in a position where you're like, man, I'm going broke trying to go see this man.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And one, I never felt like I couldn't come see you because of money.
So that's kind of how, where our money in our relationship started. So, mm-hmm. Hey, let's split these flights. And again, it started before then, but in college, it's hard to really break that down. When I went to the NFL, it's like, hey, let's split these flights. Come out here. I'll take care of you when you're out here. Mm-hmm. but things,
we want to get into the juicier aspect of splitting money, living together, and how we're approaching it now. So that just started the conversation. And then it started to become a little bit more unhealthy when we were in the same state. So I graduated college. I moved out to California. And then when we were living near each other, we had the opportunity to go and get dinner. And it was such an easy thing to do to get dinner because I lived in Santa Monica for the first few months. He lived down in Orange County and like we would just meet and grab dinner.
Right. Which can be super expensive.
I mean,
she wants to go to True Food Kitchen every time.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. I like the food.
Boy, I don't like the price. I'm kind of joking. True Food Kitchen's on point. But right. It started to get a little bit more complicated because she's like, listen, I'm out here grinding, like doing this on my own, being independent. And with that, I have a budget. Like I remember mm-hmm. she was telling me like my meals don't cost as much when I eat at home. And when she would come down and visit me, I'm like, boy, let's eat out every meal.
Mm-hmm. So it was difficult because when I originally moved out to California, I had a job, but it was more like an apprenticeship. And I was hoping that the job opportunity would come after that. So starting off, I mean, everybody else who has everybody else who graduates college will know that the first job you get is not the highest paying. So I was struggling a little bit at first, especially because I came from Michigan, a place where everything is cheap, and like my rent was cheap and I could live off of my freelancing income. And then I moved to California and my freelancing income isn't even paying my rent. And I have this job and I'm stressed out.
Boyfriend who's asking you.
And I have a boyfriend who's making a significant amount more than I was.
Yeah, which makes it complicated. And the thing that makes it extra complicated is like NFL salaries are like not hidden. I mean, not that you. I'm not that she's doing Google searches looking for my salary. But
yeah,
it's
we're
like,
sitting at dinner and I'm pulling up Isaac Rochelle's salary.
She's 2013. Like, oh boy, you're not going to pay Isaac Rochelle net worth. But
no, I never did that.
You had a enough of an understanding to know like this man can pay for this and it's fine. I will say this: Allie did an unreal job. You never made it a huge deal. Like you always split. And we'll get into the fact that we're together right now recording this podcast and we're not married and how we handle that.
People love to hate on the fact that we're not married. Chill out, people. Anyways, back to our story.
So it was difficult, but it wasn't the super, it wasn't tough conversations that we had to have. Let's not get it twisted though. Like at some points we would have arguments about it and like quote unquote disputes. Because it can be frustrating from your perspective and my perspective, because my perspective is, hey, I know I'm in the NFL, but like, why are we not treating this like a normal relationship? And like the money that I make in the NFL is that money divided by my lifetime, which is a saying that I always say to her. So, yes, we make good money, but it's not like I'm just going to make this money for the rest of my life. So I'm like, we should split this. That makes the most sense.
Yeah, well, and everybody also has this misconception that all NFL players get paid millions and millions of dollars, but it all depends on how many years you've been playing, what round you got drafted. There are so many variables, so people are going to say that, oh, like, he had a good, like, she just wanted him because he made a lot of money, and, like, she, because, people are going to say, because I didn't make that much money and he made a lot of money, I wanted him to pay. But in the end, if like let's take the NFL out of the situation. If Isaac wasn't in the NFL and he was still making the same salary, I still would have had the same issue because he was living a completely different lifestyle than I was. And we were going out to these expensive dinners and I was like, well, like how am I gonna pay for this? There goes like my 3 days of
groceries.
Like, yeah.
And I think it just goes back to this. You have to be able to have a transparent conversation. Like, could we have saved ourselves a lot of conversation and argument had we just been like, had you been like, hey, look, when I come down, let's just try to like cook dinner at the house. And like, hey, I know you love to cook, so why don't you just make me dinner? It's just cheaper for both of us. And I'll throw you what I would pay to buy myself groceries. And that could have been an easy compromise. Instead, I would forcefully be like, hey, let's go out to dinner here. And she would agree and we'd go there. And then we're like, then it's a potential conversation.
Well, and especially because whenever I came down, it usually was on the weekend because we both were off of work. So it became a conversation like, oh, like we'll have dinner at home, no problem, easy, cheap, whatever. But then friends are like, oh, you want to go get drinks, which are $13 for one shot and a drink in California.
Now boys are taking shots.
So then it's like $75 for two drinks, an appetizer, right, and a salad.
And I'm the type of dude to be complicated, like, and this is into the nitty gritty, juicy, doozy details, but I'm definitely the type of dude to be like, yo, you want to Venmo me for last night? Mm-hmm. And so like little stuff like that can be super complicated because it's like, boy, I didn't ask to go to fill in the blank club. Like I was not trying to go out and get drinks that are $15 a drink. So again, it goes back to transparency. Maybe you have that conversation beforehand, like, hey, I'm totally down to go out. In fact, I want to go out, but like, can we compromise a little bit on some of these prices?
Well, and that's exactly what started happening. So once I ended up opening up to Isaac and telling him, you know what, I can't necessarily afford to go out to Mastro's and get myself a meal that's $100. I just can't do that.
I was out of control.
So did you hear that? So what ended up happening was I told him, hey, if you want to go to a nice meal after your football game with some of your teammates, just know that I don't necessarily feel comfortable. So if you want me to go, I think it's only right that you start paying for those meals.
Right. It's just funny that we were having these conversations because I feel like people are like, don't think that we're having this conversation.
Yeah. People are probably like, oh no, he pays for everything. Like she offers sometimes, but whatever. But I wonder if people are like, what people are going to think about you paying for certain meals. They're going to be like, oh, like she loves NFL money.
Oh, people won't trip about that. But
well, I mean, in my opinion, if he's like, oh, I really want to go to Masters with my teammates, he knows that I'm not making that type of money where I can just go to Mastro's and every single weekend.
Mastro's smacks, by the way. I love some, but I love Mastro's with the truffle butter on top. Another thing is she would never choose to go to Mastro's on her own. So it's like I'm kind of dragging her to Mastro's so I can go enjoy my teammates.
Which you say dragging, but I mean, obviously I was boys willing to. I was like, Mastro's. Okay, sign me up. I'll be at Mastro's. I'm ordering the swordfish. But
I mean, we're just hanging out here on this podcast. So real quick, if you have not been to Mastro's and oh you're like, God. I know it's super expensive, save up and go because it is such a good experience. If you have the means, definitely literally make a reservation as soon as possible.
Back to the podcast.
So back to the podcast. Hopefully Allie doesn't cut that out. So we were at this point in our relationship and it was an ongoing conversation. And then it's like, while we're having that type of conversation, it's like, shoot, should we just move in together? Cause she's kind of like at that point where she's like, it's getting super expensive for me to live by myself.
So, yes, I feel like we miss a little bit. So I'm just going to rewind real quick. So eventually, after a few months being an apprentice at my job, I ended up getting a promotion and it was like a total change in my salary. So once I got that change in my job, I was like, you know what? I can actually afford to live on my own. And with that, I was like, you know what? I spend so much time in Orange County. It would be stupid to continue living in LA, especially because I go down to Orange County every weekend and I'm obsessed with Orange County. I love Orange County. I love the feeling of it. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to move down to Orange County. It's going to be a little bit more expensive for rent because I'm going to live on my own, but I will save elsewhere in my life, like groceries or like just spending habits. And this is going to be worth it because, I mean, gas is not cheap in California. Nothing really is. Nothing's cheap in California. But I made the decision to move down here because financially I was able to. So once I came down here, then like immediately once I moved down to Orange County, we started having the conversation of, okay, it would be really nice to live with each other.
Well, she was, listen, once you moved down here, you were like, wait, this whole one bedroom thing is low key like more expensive than I thought it was going to be.
Well, I was, whoa, I think.
We're giving them the juicy deucey.
I was more than able to, well, I didn't live in a one bedroom. I lived in a studio, but I was more than able to afford my studio. And I had enough months in advance that I felt comfortable making the move. And if there was any problem, I would have ended up just finding a roommate and like moving somewhere else.
I think it was not, listen, like you said, we're both saying, listen, you definitely could afford it. It was not an affordability issue. The issue was like the
how much that took away from my
leisure mm-hmm. of being able to, hey, you say, hey, let's go to Mastro's, like I'll split it with you, we're fine, or like literally like Friday night you're like finally can chill and you don't feel comfortable being like, let's go get drinks mm-hmm. and all that stuff, which is fine. Like we don't want to make it seem like we're ignorant. Like you don't have to be able to do that all the time. She was just bothered because I was doing that a lot and then you were not as able to do it and that was frustrating for you.
Well, of course. Everyone listening to this podcast or watching this YouTube video, you would even go to say that it's annoying watching other people live a certain lifestyle when you're working really hard at your job and you still are not able to live the lifestyle that other people are. Like when I look at Instagram and I see people buying G-Wagons and I'm like, well, I work really hard. Like, that's annoying to live that lifestyle. But I was watching Isaac, not that he has a G-Wagon, but I was watching I was watching Isaac live the lifestyle of not having to care about what the amount is on the receipt, not saying he's, I mean, he's very frugal, so it wasn't a lot of money.
I literally always care.
But it was just, he wasn't worried about, oh, I spent too much money on a dinner tonight, now that takes away from my grocery money. So it became complicated because I started to look at the fact that while we are living two different lifestyles, this is kind of annoying. And especially because we had talked about moving in together and I don't know, it was just, it was hitting me hard.
Oh my gosh. And should we all take cover?
No. But I do want to give myself a disclaimer because in the end, it wasn't that I was jealous of Isaac and his money. I just didn't like the fact that we were living two completely different lifestyles, but we were spending so much time together and we had all of, like, I mean, I'm not going to be secretive. Like, we had talked about getting engaged, getting married, and I was like, this is just kind of frustrating because if we live together, I'm going to be able to afford similar things that Isaac can afford, and like living on my own just didn't make sense at that point because we were spending so much time together. And I was just kind of getting antsy because I was like, you know what? We're in the best part of our relationship it's ever been. We're so healthy. We have all these plans in the future. And the only thing really a problem in our relationship at this point was money.
Right. And at this point, we were still splitting everything.
Mm-hmm.
So just to give you a little bit of insight, I mean, at no point was it 70-30, 100-0. Like, boys were still 50-50 and everything. Now, we kind of agreed that on date night situations, I would pay. Mm-hmm. That was kind of like the, listen, if we're going on a date, I'll pay. Now, whether I fully agree with the guy always paying in a date night situation, we won't get into because I don't agree with that. I think it
well, and there have been plenty of times where I've treated you to a nice date night.
I'm still waiting.
Isaac, you're joking because I have literally treated you to date nights.
Okay, in front of everyone, our millions of viewers, let's schedule a date then. It's on you next time.
Okay.
Okay.
We're going to Denny's. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I'd smack some Denny's. So, where are we at? So then we get past that stage and we finally decide, hey, let's just go ahead and move in together. Now, I was kind of pushing us moving in together. Allie initially was like, let's not move in together. I'm like, let's do it.
Well, I will say, in the back of my head, I like really wanted to move in with Isaac no matter what. Like, I love the guy. We've been together for so many years, and I truly want him to be my husband. But oh my reason, oh my gosh,
she hates
what
when
a surprise!
I know,
crazy. No,
I'm
but
so joking.
In the back of my head, I was like, okay, I really want to move in with him, but I was thinking, you know what? It's going to be so complicated moving in together with money and like splitting things and like responsibilities. And I feel like I wanted to stay really firm about waiting until engagement to move in together because then it would be so much less complicated. And I just didn't want to have any problems going forward. While I wanted to live with Isaac because it seemed financially right, at the other end, I was like, you know what? I'm still fine living on my own. Like, I'm not struggling in any sort. Like, I was still able to go out and buy jeans and like have a drink and like, guys, I was not struggling, okay? But it just would feel more comfortable living-wise. Like, I would have a lot more of my savings, and it just made sense. But
well, the fairy tale that we moved in together and it was, like, all smooth sailing, everything was much easier, is, like, not true. Like, we moved in, and we've enjoyed living together. It's also been somewhat difficult navigating the splitting situation.
I think the biggest problem that has happened in our relationship after moving in together has been regarding money. That doesn't mean I don't think people shouldn't move in until they're engaged because of the money, but it definitely has came with its challenges, just kind of navigating because not everybody is in our situation, so nobody can tell us how they navigated that. So it's just been really difficult to, you know, do you really expect me to do that? Or like nickel and diming, and it's been a little bit complicated. So we can give you guys an insight into how it's been for us.
So we just, our philosophy is,
well, people are gonna be like, stop interrupting him. Let's talk about when we decided to move in together, how we kind of navigated who was going to pay for what.
Well, we went through a checklist.
Mm-hmm. Like a legit Pinterest checklist.
We went through a checklist, but we did, like, I guess rent, we don't really split 50-50 because, and we're not going to get into the dirty details of numbers, but
we can get into the surface level though.
I kind of forced her to move into where I live because it's super nice.
He goes, we're not going to get in the juicy details. And then he goes, I forced her to move in somewhere she didn't want to live.
No, well, not where you didn't want to live, but I forced you to move in with me in my spot because it's a nicer spot.
Mm-hmm.
So then the compromise was I'll pay a little bit more. But past that, her and I pretty much do 50-50 on everything. And it's been good, but it's just naturally complicated when you're not married. Like, and this is really us being transparent with whoever is listening. Like,
well, yeah, because I feel like sometimes our relationship can look perfect online, and that is never the case. Like, we have our own challenges, but that doesn't mean we don't love each other. It doesn't mean we're going to break up because we have one challenge regarding money in our relationship, but it definitely has made things a little bit more difficult.
No doubt. And I think we're just, this is kind of a, I feel like an awkward stage for couples, right? So we are like not, I guess like we're not dating, like trying to get to know each other. Like we live together.
Yeah, but we know each other like the back of our hands. Sometimes it's actually frustrating how well we know each other.
And we're not engaged, right? And we're not married. So it's like,
why aren't you guys engaged or married? It's been 5 years. He doesn't love you. Realize that. She only wants you for your money.
Who said, all that? Jeez.
Go to the comments. Look it up. Some guy's pissed that he was like, Allie, you need to realize he doesn't love you. He needs to, like, shit or get off the pot. And I'm like, all right, Ken. Like, go ahead. Right. I don't know what his name is, but
I don't want to get into that because that is a whole another conversation. The point that I'm trying to make is we are just naturally in an awkward stage. And for you guys to understand the transparency, we're sitting here having this conversation. Like, we've had these conversations. It's just a weird stage for us to be in. And financially, it's a really tough situation to navigate because you're almost kind of anticipating being married. So any type of like, mm-hmm. boy, Venmo me or boy, we're splitting this is like, bro, this literally isn't even going to matter in X amount of months or X amount of years. And so,
or X amount of days, Isaac. Where Allie's is your
like, or X amount of minutes? When does this podcast get posted?
No.
So it's like very complicated. And I'll say this from my perspective, for Allie to understand too.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's super important to keep the integrity of that until you're not in that. Like, it doesn't hurt anything for the people listening. Doesn't hurt anything to like, for us to split everything literally until the day that we're engaged or whatever, because it just is, it's just like part of the process, right? Like, mm-hmm. we're going to look back and it's not going to matter. But like right now, it's like, we're in this, let's just grind through this.
Mm-hmm. And I can totally respect that. And it sounds like it makes so much sense, but coming from my perspective, I respect what Isaac just said completely and I agree with him, but I'm going to bring you into like my thought process and why I might not agree like in the past. So knowing that Isaac and I, well, hoping that Isaac and I are going to get engaged in the near future, people are going to be like, people she's just like, waiting y'all are for so a ring.
Basic. Here's the deal. Okay. We've been dating 5 years.
I mean, if it's not happening, let me know. Because anyways, so in my head, I'm like, well, what's the point of nickel and diming? Like, oh, we split cat food. That's $30. So you owe me $15. It can just get really complicated and kind of redundant. Like, oh, wait, you didn't send me an extra $4, which Isaac's never complained about $4. I'm just kind of giving a random example.
You don't have to lie to the listeners.
I do Venmo Isaac. If I ever use his credit card, I Venmo him $6 for my little nectar juice. But with that being said, I feel like in my situation, I mean, there are times where I go out and buy cat food and I don't tell Isaac, oh, you owe me like $38. And in those situations, I'm like, oh, because it doesn't really matter. Like, I have the means to pay for it. at the end of the day, it's whatever. What's mine is my, well, what's mine is ours, but not quite yet. But, and then in certain situations, he'll go out and buy cat food.
And I'm like, boy,
and he's like, hey, you owe me $38. Yeah. And I'm like, well, I just bought cat food 2 weeks ago and I never said that you owed me. So it can just get really complicated because we both have the means to afford what we're buying. It's not like, oh, you Venmoing me $15 for cat food. I'm just saying cat
we're
food.
We're on a cat food rant.
No, but I'm saying like his $15 doesn't really mean much to me. So when he asked for the $15 from me, I'm like, well, hold on. If we're tallying, I need to like tally this up because I'm pretty sure we're really equal right now. So it can get complicated because now he's spending his money on certain things for me and I'm spending my money on certain things for him. And we're just not staying accountable. So it's getting really messy to the point where I don't know if I owe him money. He doesn't know if he owes me money. And it's just getting really complicated.
That sounded like a vent session. Here's the deal.
Whoa, I am not. No, I'm not venting. I think people are going to understand. Like,
it gets
weird. Oh, my boyfriend bought this. Like, oh, I didn't have time to go to the store. Like, he bought me my tampons. And then
oh my God.
I bought him beer or something. That's so sexist of me to say.
Yeah, beer and tampons. Here's what I want to say. And we're just going back and forth, but that's kind of the point of the podcast. I think we need to look at the more umbrella theme here. Right. So here's where Allie and I are at. Right now, we're still splitting everything, but it gets complicated randomly because we're not married. We're kind of anticipate being married. We're anticipating being married. And it gets like there's gray areas. It's not always black and white. But as she explained and I explained, I think it's super important to discuss initially, like where what your financial backgrounds are. Allie comes from a different place. When I owe her $14, she's like, whatever, it's not that big of a deal. When she owes me $14, I'm like, you owe me $14. And I think
and 32 cents.
And I think it's just because we come from such different financial backgrounds where I'm a little bit more, and it's kind of coming full circle, where I'm a little bit more money conscious, maybe way more money conscious. And I'm like, I don't care if I have $80 million in my bank account. Like, I'm counting pennies. Like, it's just who I am and what I do. And Allie didn't necessarily come from that background. She's got $80 million in the bank. She's like, if I spend $100,000 and forget about getting paid back, not that big of a deal. So I think you'll agree with me. Like, have those complicated conversations. And if you're early in your relationship, it's not complicated. It's just, hey, tell me your story.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even just now you explaining it, it makes so much sense because if my mom lends somebody money and they don't necessarily have the money to like pay them back right away, she's gonna be like, oh, like don't even worry about it. And I don't necessarily think it comes from like, oh, I'm fine without your money. I think it comes more from like a generosity perspective. Like my parents are very giving. They've given back to the community and like stuff like that. So when I go to the grocery store, or like when I go to the grocery store and I see Isaac's favorite candy or whatever, I'm like, oh, I'm going to get that for him. And I treat him, I'm going to spend like $10, whatever expensive candy out here. I don't know what I'm talking about, but if I spend $10 on him, I'm like, oh, that's going to make him happy, whatever. And then I see that as like, oh, I'm spending my money on Isaac. And then when it comes down to like, oh, Al, you owe me $10, in my head, I'm like, like, do I actually owe you $10?
Yeah. And I don't, you bringing up the example of the families, neither of my parents were like weird about giving people money or.
Well, like, I never wanted to like.
Yeah, they were never weird about it. But again, it just goes to like, it's just two totally different backgrounds, right?
No, I agree.
And that where you come from originally and its end form can cause issues. And I think that's why a lot of people just simply date from situations that are the same. Like Allie and I right now, we're like going against the odds. We come from two totally different backgrounds. We're two different races. We were two different religions. Like literally everything is different.
When you put it like that, I mean, we are complete opposites.
And it's super tough, right? So, like, we, I think, have a good relationship, but it's super tough. Like, it's not perfect. Mm-hmm. And this is just one of many examples of where we struggle in our relationship. Like, how do we navigate just coming from two different money backgrounds?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the point of Babe in the Braids.
I feel like we've kind of touched on a lot of the things we plan on discussing this podcast. But before we go, I do quickly want to touch on why we split rent if Isaac can afford to pay for our rent and pay for us together. And why we split and why we think that's healthy. So Isaac, why do we split rent? I know why we split rent, but I'm saying for the people listening, I want to explain why we split rent, especially because you can afford to pay for it.
In my mind,
because
it's two
I'm sure
reasons.
some people are going to ask, if he can afford it, why isn't he paying for it?
It's two reasons in my mind, right? So the first one is easy. The second one's a little bit more complicated. First one being is what everybody does. Literally, if we moved in together and we didn't know each other's jobs, we would split everything. It's literally just
take
normal.
Take the NFL out of it.
Yeah, it's just literally the normal way to do it. I think it's healthy. I think it's like, I want to be, yes, I love the NFL, and the NFL is my goal, dreams. I want to be in the NFL as long as I possibly can. But I also want to approach things like our relationship, like any other couple would approach it. So that's why. Second off, I've told Allie this so many times. Like, when we're 40 years old, I don't want you to be like, oh, I just moved in with Isaac and he's always paid for everything. I don't think that's fair to Allie. Like, I want to have a daughter one day that looks at Allie and like thinks she's a beast, and like you can tell her all these stories about how stubborn I was and how I made you split everything. But it's like, yeah, I'm also independent, and that's what I would want to do. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. The second one, like I said, is kind of complicated, but if you're listening, you should go watch a YouTube video because we just picked our puppy up and put her in the podcast.
No, but going off of, sorry, I have a puppy in my arm, so it's a little bit difficult. But going off of Isaac's second point, I mean, everyone's going to act like, oh, like it's his decision to split rent. But me, I'm fully capable of paying my part of the rent. I'm fully capable of buying my own clothes, paying for my own food. Like, I am not going to live off of Isaac. And in fact, I would feel awkward living off of him because I don't want, I mean, and this is not to hate on anybody else in this situation, but I don't want to live mainly off of Isaac because in the chance that we don't get engaged or don't get married, I want to stay completely independent, and I want to know that I am marrying Isaac for the right reasons and I'm fully capable to live on my own and moving forward in our relationship. Like, the NFL is not forever, and I am able to carry our family out, and I'm able to have a job and contribute to the income. And the idea, I mean, my mom, growing up, my mom always had a job, and it wasn't because our family needed the money. It was because she was independent and wanted to provide for the family as well. And she didn't want to just stick around. I mean, she was a stay-at-home mom for a period of time, but I grew up around independent women, and I never want to rely on somebody for the means of my life and rely on somebody, oh, hey, can I go buy a pair of jeans? That's just not my personality. That's not hating on other people who live off of their boyfriend's paycheck or like stay-at-home moms. Like, that's a completely different subject. I'm just saying, like, not being married, I want to have my own job, my own life, my own bank account, and I'm more than capable to pay for my own things. Feminism. Men don't have to pay for everything.
Oh my gosh.
I am fully capable to pay for things myself. And there have been situations where people are like, oh, he isn't getting that. I'm like, no, because I make money and I can afford to get
smack,
it.
Little smack, so adorable. My mom was the same way. My mom's a beast. But I think you guys get the point. I think you've got like a probably more than you should hear insight to our relationship.
Hey, but that's what we're here for. I mean, nothing is, well, we do have, I was going to say nothing is a secret, but you guys do not want to know everything. But we're here to help you guys out as much as we possibly can. And I hope that by listing some of our problems, it helps some of you guys out. And if you guys want a topic in particular, like for us to go in depth about how we decided to split rent, which we kind of did go in depth about that one, but more specifically in depth about other topics regarding money, just let us know and we'll be able to film that and just make, you know, a tinier little podcast, like a mini episode.
And for all the people that are going to hate, it is what it is. I just appreciate everybody tuning in. Babe and the Braids, we'll be back in Adam soon and very soon.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in and respecting us for taking a break. But we are back and we're excited to be filming this podcast. If you guys have any recommendations as to episodes or topics you want to hear, feel free to DM us on Instagram or write into babeandthebraidspodcast@gmail.com. And we will definitely put that on our list of podcasts to film. But with that being said, thank you guys so much for all your support and for tuning in.
Appreciate you guys.